We greet you this evening in Jesus' name. It's the reason we're here.
Amen.
Is it not?
Amen.
It's the reason we're here. You didn't come to hear me speak. You came to hear the Lord Jesus speak tonight.
Amen.
You came to listen to Him speak in your hearts. And I hope you've come to this whole seminar for that reason. He has a word for you. He has a message for you. So my prayer is that you would hear that message. And you'd go home changed. I think before we go any farther, let's all stand for a word of prayer. Stand before God and lift up your heart to God tonight. Oh, Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we come to You. We do not have any merits of our own. No work we could do would merit Your attention. No effort we could make would bring You to our aid. But it's only in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that we come. We depend upon that name. It's our protection. It's the one who goes before us and mediates there for us. Oh, Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Jesus tonight, Lord, Father, God omnipotent. Thank You for Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would come now and settle upon this meeting, Father. Settle upon every heart, Lord. Anoint every heart, Father. Open the ears, Lord. Open my mouth, Lord, that Your word would come forth and that the seed sown would land upon the ears and upon the hearts of those who have well-prepared soil, Father. And that they, Father, would be able to hear what You have to say to them. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, have mercy upon us tonight and come and anoint our service tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Make it a service like never been before, if I could ask that, Father, that there'd be a change of hearts, Lord. There'd be something different, Father. Oh, God, Thou art well able to come and change any heart here. So, Father, we pray that You would come and anoint our service tonight. We love You, Lord. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll begin with reading a verse there. The title of my message tonight is The Anguished Heart. Second Corinthians chapter 2, I'll just read and begin reading there in verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, that ye should be grieved, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly to you. I'd like to talk about the anguished heart tonight. And this message, it may need a little balance. I'm not going to tell you that this is the answer, but this is part of the answer. This anguished heart, the need of this anguished heart is part of the answer that you're looking for tonight. It's why you're here. To anguish means extreme anxiety, extreme distress or emotional torment. It means extreme pain and sorrow. The anguished heart. Lots of times, you know, one part of this anguished heart, one part of this Christian life that God wants us to live, and the way to attain into this Christian life that He wants us to live, it begins first with an understanding that I am a sinner. And that means that I need repentance. And that has to come out of an anguished heart. That true God-ordained repentance must come from an anguished heart. a heart that's in deep pain and torment for the sins he's committed. That's what must come out of my heart, out of your heart. That's how you gain to that place in Christ where you want to be. It's going to start with repentance. You must know you're a sinner and you must repent. But it must come out of an anguished heart. A heart that's broken and burdened for the sin that you've done. What you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It must come out of that heart, my people. An anguished heart. You know, this is the first night of these meetings that's going to last a week. And you have the opportunity, every one of you, and especially you men who've come to the seminar, you have the opportunity here tonight to get this anguished heart and find that place of repentance so that you can walk forward in the rest of this week with a clear heart. It's your opportunity tonight. So, let's get down to business now. Open our hearts up. Seek for that anguished heart. That heart that just burns within you. For what Christ has done. And for the fact of what you have done. Or maybe you're living in sin in some way right now. And nobody knows. I don't know. You're going to find the way out of that. You're going to find the victory you're looking for from an anguished heart, a heart that's burdened. You know, it's been said procrastination is a thief of time. You know what I think it's more a worse thief of? It's a thief of God's glory. Procrastination robs God of the glory that He deserves, that He so deserves. Procrastination. So I encourage us here tonight, open up our hearts to how God may put this anguish within our hearts that we might give Him the glory that He so deserves. I want to comment just briefly upon the opening message yesterday morning. The brother talked about that farmer. He went out into his field at the time of planting. And the neighbors all watched him. And he went out there and did a little digging around. And before long, a bulldozer came in. The neighbors were watching him saying, "What is he doing? Should be pulling a planter out there, not a bulldozer." This man had an anguished heart. This man was willing to go out there and dig the boulders out. So he could have good seed on which the seed would fall. He knew, and we know, that good seed does not grow on rocks. It doesn't grow where there's no fertility. It doesn't grow where there's no moisture. Good seed grows on good soil. And we have to get the rocks out before we're going to be able to produce a good crop. And we're only going to get those out by taking the bulldozer out there with an anguished heart. A heart that's in deep turmoil and pain for what it is and what it's done. That neighbor went out there. He didn't care what anybody thought. He went out there because he knew he had some rocks in his field that needed to get out. And I would challenge you this evening. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You need to get the rocks out. If there's rocks in your heart, you must get them out. Many of you men, 550 or so of you, have come here. You've left your wives and your children at home. There they are back there. I can all but guarantee you, they're praying for you. Also, my challenge to you this evening is, brothers, don't waste the day. Don't waste the evening. Don't waste the week. They're back there praying for you. But more than that, the blood of Jesus Christ has dripped to the ground, has flowed to the ground. Out of an anguished heart. His heart was anguished. You know how it was back there in the garden there. He prayed, "Oh, Father," out of an anguished heart, "Lord, take this cup away from me." But the Father said no. Because of that, His blood has now shed onto the ground. And now we're reaping the benefits of it. Don't let it go there in vain. The price He paid was too great to let that blood just soak into the ground. Turn with me, if you would, now to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. I think I'm just going to read that whole chapter there. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I think Nehemiah had an anguished heart. He saw God's glory down laying in the dust. He saw God, the walls of Jerusalem broken down. He saw God's people in tribulation and in captivity. I think Nehemiah had an anguished heart. Reading on, verse 5. And this is his prayer. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandedest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandedest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the earth, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Beautiful prayer. A prayer of anguish. A prayer he knew that God's glory was not what it should be. And he prayed, Lord, remember your promises. Yea, that if we turn from you, you will scatter us. But yea, if we come back to you, you'll bring us from hence. Though we be scattered to the uttermost part of the earth, he will bring us back. And that goes for all of us too. Though we be scattered to the uttermost part of the earth in a spiritual way, he will bring us back. Hallelujah. As I began this message, as I began preparing for it, there was a burden come on my heart. I said, you know what, Lord? I think there's something not right. I think there's something not right. And I began to pray, Lord, break my heart. And I continued praying that, Lord, break my heart. Because anguish is only going to come out of a broken heart. A true anguished heart is going to be broken. It will have no strength of itself. It's going to be of no value of itself. No will of its own. It's going to be like the dead animal. No strength. That anguished heart. That heart that just says, Lord. Many of you have probably seen the individual who kneels down. In fact, I had a brother tell me just the other day in my office, he said, Brother Mark, he said, the burden of God is upon my heart. I can't just walk out there on the streets of the city and be callous to those people. I see them as souls, and that burdens my heart. He had an anguished heart. Brokenness. Brokenness. What is your heart? What is your will? What do you want? Are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to let it die? I must say also, this message is not born out of an accomplishment or an achievement. It's born out of a need. It's a need in my heart. It's a need in my heart. Oh Lord, break my heart. Give me an anguished heart. Let me see the things You see and be anguished over the things You're anguished over. This message is born of a need. You know what? You can't hide in your complacency. You can't hide in your passivity. You cannot hide in it. You may be able to fool us for a little while, but you know the difference. I've seen the difference, and I suppose probably you have too. The difference between a man who just goes about his jolly good way and a man who has a purpose. He has a vision and he's going somewhere. I've seen the difference of a young man who's just floating along in life. He says he's a Christian, and I don't doubt he's made a profession and maybe even a confession. But I've seen the difference between that and a young man who got under the burden of God and he wanted to go forward. He spent his time reading and praying and talking, and everybody knew that he was on fire for God. Amen. There's a difference. That's because he has an anguished heart. He has a concern, he has a burden, he has a broken heart for God's glory. You think nobody can see it? It's visible when we compare. And I don't mean to compare ourselves among ourselves, I'm not saying that. It's just a difference. You can see the difference. We cannot hide. The burden and the purpose of this message is to stir our hearts. Stir our hearts up for souls and stir our spirits for the Lord, for our King, for our Redeemer, for our Master. Oh, that we may all get a burden that's heavy for our Lord Jesus, that our cry and our plea, it might be, without any question about it, that it might be, oh, that I can serve Him. Oh, that I can worship Him. Oh, that I can be for Him what He wants me to be. That I can just be the watering can. Just a vessel. As you have made your profession, you have been to the Lord, you've been to altars, you've been on your knees, you've read the Scriptures. Yet, time goes on, sometimes we fall into a mood and a spirit of complacency. It happens. It doesn't have to, but it does. It happens. What would you do if I came to you and told you, Brother, you're changing. Just a little bit. You're changing. I don't see the brokenness I once saw. I don't see the passion I once saw. I don't see the compassion I once saw. It looks like you've even lost your fight. It looks like you've lost your spirit. What would you do? You're cooling off. What would you do? I don't see that concern for your neighbors. I don't see that concern for your children like you once had. I don't see that concern for your wife like you once had. I don't see that concern for your own soul like you once had. What would you do? You have to answer that question this evening. What are you going to do? If this is true in your heart, what will you do with it? What will you do? The choice is yours. How about when you lay in bed in the morning and you know you should be getting up and you just lay there? Are the walls down? Are the walls broken down at Jerusalem? Do you have protection? Do you have the glory of God upon your life? Back to Nehemiah there in verse 6. He says, again, I'm going to read it again. Let now thine ear be attentive, and let thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. What about your heart? What about that burden upon your heart? Or is there a burden there? Nehemiah is praying day and night. He's not just kneeling down and saying these nice little bedtime prayers. He's praying day and night. So how do you do that? How do you pray day and night? I believe it's an attitude. I believe it's a desire. I believe it's a burden on your heart. I believe it's something that God gives to you. If you have a desire for it, He will be there for you. He will give you that burden and that prayer of your heart day and night. If there's something burdening your heart, if there's an anguish of heart, He will give it to you. If you don't have it, if that doesn't happen to you, I'd ask you, is there anguish in your heart? Is there that sincere, burdened heart for the glory of the Lord, that the walls of Jerusalem would be built and that His glory could be shown, be seen by all nations, all people, everywhere? When you walk down the street, when you go into those places of business, when you go into the grocery store, wherever you go, can people see that the glory of the Lord is with you? If it's not, you need to pray both day and night. Nehemiah, he wasn't playing around. He was very serious. Here he was, the king's cupbearer, and he had a burden to go back to Jerusalem. And he took his life in his hands, and he said, King, I don't know how he said it exactly, but he said, King, I want to go back to Jerusalem. And he asked him, how long? And I don't know what he told him, but he had a burdened heart. His heart was burdened. He took his life in his hands. And he asked the king. He had a burdened heart. Dare to be a Nehemiah. So you have a burden. So you have a concern. So you have something that's on your heart. What are you going to do about it? You know, God has certain burdens on His heart too. He wants, above all things, and it's right for Him to want this, that His glory would be manifested throughout the whole earth. It's right for Him to want this. We are His sons. We are His daughters. We are part of His kingdom. We are part of Him. What are we doing about it? Are we letting His glory just fade away? Or are we building Jerusalem walls? Some of you, I don't know you, some of you may have a daughter or a son or an uncle or a neighbor who's straying. You know, there are, I didn't get any statistics, thousands of people dying every day not knowing Christ. Can you imagine? Thousands of people dying every day knowing nothing about Christ. That's hard for me to comprehend. But it's true. It's true. I don't know how to get it into your minds. I don't know how to portray to you the desperation that should be, and that if God were human, and He's not, but if He were, of the desperation that would be on His heart. Why don't you do something? Okay, that's the thousands and the millions out there. They're out there. They have souls. Okay, let's bring it a little closer home. What about your neighbors? What about your family? Your extended family? Your own family? Is the burden there? Is the anguish there? You know, that pain, that hurt, that burden within you, that just won't go away. I can't put it there. This message is not going to put it there. Promises won't put it there. Emotions aren't going to put it there. Teaching's not going to put it there. You are going to have to avail yourself. Open up your heart and say, Lord, give me the burden. Give me the burden that I can see Your glory is being wasted. It's not happening. Souls are not coming to You. You're not getting what You deserve. Open up your heart. Lord, I don't have it. I don't have that burden. I don't have that anguish of heart. You are going to have to let it come there yourself. You are going to have to open up your heart. Nehemiah, he had a burden. He had anguish of heart, I believe. You know what it says he did? He fasted. And he prayed. And he mourned. And he wept. I wonder. How long has it been since you were on your face weeping, crying, mourning, fasting? I wonder. Because Nehemiah did that, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. Because you do that, the walls of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Don't do it. Don't count on the walls being rebuilt. How about your prayers? Night and day. Continually praying. Continually. It's a continual burden and an anguish in your heart. A deep pain in your heart. It's what God wants. This place, this lifetime, right now, is the time to make the decision for God's glory. You each one have the opportunity tonight, today, you're living today. We don't know what the future is. We only have today. But today you have the opportunity to open up your heart to that anguish and that burden that God wants to place there. You have the opportunity now. Jesus Himself, how many times did He go weeping to the Father? We don't know. We have a couple of records of it. But I have a feeling that it wasn't just one time that He went weeping to the Father and crying out in anguish. That's an example we can follow. There in Mark, the last of there, Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And again in Matthew, He records the same thing. He said, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, how do you see that Scripture? Is that Scripture a command or a privilege? How do you see it? Is that a command or a privilege? I'd like you to think of it as a privilege. Yes, it's given. It's an opportunity. A command is something I have to do. He said, do it. I must do it. That's what He expects. He expects nothing less from me. But a privilege is something that He offers to me. I can take it or I can leave it. I'd like to see you take it as a privilege. Amen. It's a privilege to have received that Scripture. He didn't just give it to us for something to do.
That's right. Amen.
He didn't just say, well, I'll give him something here to occupy with for a while till I come again. He had a burden.
That's right.
And He wanted us to get underneath that burden.
Amen.
And fulfill that privilege. You know, it's just like spinning your wheels. You know, you can spin your wheels, you can make a lot of noise, you can make a lot of smoke, you can make a lot of dust, you can make a pretty big show, but you don't get anywhere. All we end up needing is new tires. That's all we end up with. We don't get anywhere. Nothing happens. What about our life? Are we just spinning our wheels, brethren and sisters? Are we going to go away from this week of meetings, having just spun our wheels and needing to come back again? As I was studying for this message and as I was praying and just typing as I went, it seems my mind went a little more to the missionary side of things. You could go all kinds of different ways with this anguished heart and the need of it and how you should be anguished in this area or this area or this area. It seemed like the Lord led me in this way. Where are the missionaries? By missionaries, I mean this. I don't mean men who go out to some foreign field somewhere. Yes, they're missionaries. Or they may not be. They may just be going. I mean missionaries that have souls that are on fire for God.
Amen.
Missionaries are men who have a desire for the walls of Jerusalem to be built up and for the glory of God to shine upon that city.
Amen.
That's a missionary. He has a desire for God's glory to shine down and to radiate out of His life, and of the life of His church, and the life of everybody He sees. That's a missionary. Missionaries have a love for Him more than a love for the world. They have a love for Him more than a love for materialism. Missionaries have a love for Him more than a love of self. Missionaries have a love for Him more than a love of the pleasures of sin. A love for Him is greater. That burden, that anguish in their heart is for Him. That He would receive what you have to give to Him. Not what I can get. That's a missionary. I mean souls that are sold into slavery to Him. Bond slaves to Jesus Christ. They have a burden and a desire to spread the word so that the glory of God can come down. Missionaries have a burden on their heart that they can't, that's all they think about. That's their motive. That's their purpose. That's their aim. That's their goal. That's a missionary. Where are they? Reminds me of the story of two Moravians. And I suppose some, many of you have already heard this story. I'll repeat it again. Two Moravians. I read a little about the Moravians, and they have quite a story to tell. You'd be blessed to read their story. They were people who had a desire, they had a burden, they had a passion, their heart was anguished to follow the Lord, to follow the Scriptures as the best they knew how. They were persecuted. Zinzendorf had an estate. He made a place for them that they could come to. A safe place, a haven for them. He had a love for those people. But at any rate, those people, they had a love for souls. Their heart was anguished for the glory of the Lord. Their motive in life was not to build a church. Their motive in life was not to attain to some certain kind of a status. Their motive in life was for the glory of the Lord. It was that souls might be saved. That was their motive, and they proved it. They sent out missionaries. I believe to the extent, now this is way back, I think this was like in 1900, 106 years ago, that the statistics were that if all the Christian world would send out missionaries like they sent missionaries out, they sent out 2 missionaries for every 58 church people. That's a lot. Because they had an anguish in their heart. Because they had a burden. Lord, that there would be souls come to You. That people would know You. They had a burden. But at any rate, these 2 missionaries, they went out. Zinzendorf then, he had traveled some, and he met a man from the West Indies, I believe it was, one of the islands there, and he told about some prisoners on that island. Some captives, some slaves. He got a burden for them. He brought it back to the Moravian people. The Moravian people said, yes, there's a people that need to know the gospel. 2 young men said, I'll go. They went. We have no record of them ever returning back. The only way to get into those people was to sell themselves as slaves into this mine where they were digging. How about us? What kind of a burden do we have on our heart? Have we become slaves to Him? Sold out to Him? Have we? Have I? You know, this message is not about going to the foreign field. It's not about sending forth men and women to idol worship. It's not about looking at the needs of the world that so abundantly abounds. It's not about stirring up a passive heart to the mission field. It's about God's glory. The walls are broken down. Back in the feudal days, when the kings had feuds, the servant would come to the king. He would kneel down on his knees like this with his head bowed and put up his hands just like this. And the king would take his hands in his hands as a sign and as a token. The servant is giving to the king everything. Head bowed. Hands given over. How about us? Are we here? Have we done this to the Lord? Held up our hands? Lord, I'm Yours. Everything I have is Yours. Everything I have is Yours. I give my hands. I give my heart. I give my body. I give my money. I give everything to You. I am Your servant. And the Lord reaches down and takes our hands. Okay. I'd like to talk to you wives, you sisters, you mothers just a little bit. You think, here I am, I'm a wife in subjection to a husband. I'm a mother. I have this flock of little children around me. What can I do? How can I fulfill this great privilege that God has given to us? How can I? I can't go out and spread the gospel by preaching. There's a little saying that I read some time ago. You probably all heard it. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers, did you hear that? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle has the heart of its child in her hands. The hand that rocks the cradle takes that heart of that child and can either turn that thing into a hard piece of stone or clay, or can mold that heart to where it's usable. Fathers, you have your responsibilities too, but mothers, you have yours too. I personally believe that there's nothing more powerful than the love of a mother outside of Christ's love. Love is the most powerful thing on earth. It's more powerful than all the nuclear weapons you can come up with. I had a mother one day. Still do. She set a candle in the window. Some of the other children asked her, they said, "What's that for? Why did you set the candle there?" She had a son. I was that son. Who went astray, walking away. She answered the other children when they asked her why she put that candle in the window. I don't know her exact words, but I know her heart, and her heart was this. She said, "My son, in whom I am well pleased, has gone astray and he needs to come back home." She wanted to know I was welcome. She wanted me to know that candle was there because she loved me. What it said to me was, "I love you, son." How about you, mothers? Do you have candles in the window? Even you, fathers, you can also put candles in the window. And it doesn't need to be, maybe it's an erring son. Maybe it's a wayward daughter. But it may be the neighbor. Put a candle in the window, my people. Put a candle in the window. Let that shine. That love shine. Let that anguished heart show. My mother had an anguished heart. She was burdened. She put a candle in the window. I would challenge each of you, put a candle in the window. There's still a way home. That's what that candle said to me. There's still a way home. You can come home, my son. You can come home. I saw it as a ray of hope. I had a hope because of that candle. How many people drive past your window and there's no candle in it? Put a candle in your window. I don't mean literally. I think you all know what I mean. I mean in your heart, that burdened, anguished heart, set a light in your life. Paul said, "Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." Anguish. I believe Paul knew what anguish was. The fellowship of His suffering. I know Jesus knew what anguish was. I know that. And Paul said, "Oh, that I might know Him and have the fellowship of His sufferings." You know, an anguished heart is not an easy heart to have. That's an unpleasant place to be. But it's where God is calling us to. Jesus said, "I didn't come to He came to bring a sword. He came to divide." He said, "I came that I want you to crucify your flesh. I want you to give up all the pleasures of sin that your flesh would so long for. I want you to turn your back on the world." He said, "I want you to have an anguished heart. I want you to have a heart that's burdened. A heart that is, Lord, I don't know if I can take this anymore." A heart that goes forth with all the zeal and the energy and the power that it can and spreads the gospel, builds the walls. In Ezekiel, very common passage, "And I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I looked for a man and found none." Is that still true today? Is He looking for a man and not finding any? Are you the man who's willing to stand in the gap? You know, we make a lot of claims. Some of them are right and true, and some of them are not. We claim to be free from sin. Or I should say it this way. We claim and can have the power not to sin. That doesn't mean that we cannot sin. It means we have the power not to sin. Does that show in your life? Is that true in your life? In your heart? You know, we've heard a lot about Christ. We've heard a lot about godly homes around here. We've heard a lot about missions. We've heard a lot about soul winning. We've heard a lot about quiet time. We've heard a lot about the ugliness of sin. But my question is, what are we going to do about it? I had a brother stop in my office just this afternoon. And he said, Brother, he said, could you recommend a book or a tape or something for me? He said, I want to walk in the Spirit every day, all day long. He said, I want to go home changed. I want to go home different. I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't need a book.
Amen.
You don't need a tape.
Amen.
You need a heart change.
Amen.
You need an anguished heart. You need to get down on your knees and weep and mourn and pray and fast. But don't be deceived. Don't take me wrong. Don't think for a minute that I am saying, do these things and it will be right with you. God is not so much interested in our works as He is in the fruit from our works. Yes, we have some things to do and not do. Yes, we have responsibilities. But God wants fruit. John 15, there he's teaching about the vine and being attached to the vine. And in fact, it's the only way we will bear any fruit. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This is a key, my brothers and my sisters. This is a key, that ye be attached to the vine. Then, therefore, there can be that life-sustaining, that life-giving energy flowing up through that vine, Spirit flowing up into that vine, coming out in through me, and I bear fruit then, I being attached to it. We must be attached to the vine. I know there's men here who have a desire to go home with a changed heart. They have a desire to go home with the Word. They want to hear something from God. God, what is it you have to say to me? There's men here wanting that kind of a result from this. There's men here wanting direction for their life. Lord, what do I do? Do I stay? Do I move? Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I do this? Do I do that? There's men here with the desire for a zeal in their life. There's men here looking for that. There's men here looking for victory. I know there is. There is a God, there is a Father in heaven who's waiting right now. He's waiting for you to make the decision. Whatever it may be that you may be wrestling with. Whatever that, if that heart of yours is not burdened, He's waiting for you to open it up. Open up your arms and say, Lord, I'm your servant. You know, like this, to the King. He's waiting for that. Your Father in heaven is waiting for you to bring Him glory in some way. Whether it be by souls, whether it be by dedication, whether it be by I don't know what all He may be asking you to do. But God is waiting for you to bring Him glory. You have wives at home, men. They're waiting for you to come back home. You went away and you said, honey, I'm going to go away for a few days. And I'm praying that God will change me. I'm praying there'll be a difference. Sons, you have mothers at home who are just praying for you. They're wanting you to come home with a zeal and with a fire in your heart like you never had before. That's what they're waiting on. Sons, listen. God is ready. God is willing. God is waiting. There are fathers agonizing here over the mistakes and the sins that they've committed and done. In a crowd this size, there has to be. I've never seen it different. There's a song that says, "Tears are a language God understands." I'd like to change that to, "Anguish is a language God understands." God understands an anguished heart. He knows where it's coming from. A heart that's burdened. A heart that desires most of all to be in connection with Him. And a heart that desires that the walls of Jerusalem be built. That there be glory around about the city. Some of us came here tonight with a desire to hear a message. Maybe they wanted to see some friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some of us came here tonight for various reasons. But I'd like to give you this challenge and this question. If you've come here tonight and you know in your heart that you've let God down, you know that the walls of your city are broken down, and you know that the people are captive there in your city. You know you've not given Him everything. Your life, your work, your time, your reputation, yourself. In fact, there's probably some of you here who have not stood in the gap when you should have stood in the gap. And something got in that shouldn't have gotten in. You've not defended the truth. Maybe you haven't mended your relationships. Maybe you've not anguished and travailed over the sin in your life. This is your opportunity. My brothers, my sisters, this is your opportunity. God is calling you. God wants you to be clear and free. God wants you to respond to this call. God wants you to open up your heart and allow Him to place the burden there and the anguish of heart if it's not there. You know your passivity. You know your complacency. You know that because of that, you've hindered God's work. God has not received what He should have received. The walls are still in crumbles. What you've heard here this evening, I trust God has spoken in your heart that you will need to make answer to. There is a question in your heart. Do I have that anguish of heart? That deep pain, that extreme. Now, I'm not talking about a Hudson Taylor. I'm not talking about a George Mueller. Yet there's no reason. I believe God is no respecter of persons. There's no reason that we can't do the work of God, whatever that is that He calls us to. He doesn't call us all to the mission field. He doesn't do that as far as the foreign mission field, I mean. He doesn't call us all to various kinds of servanthood that some of us are called to. But He's calling all of us to something. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Son of God, who came down here in the form of a baby, laid there in a manger, grew up to a boy 12 years old, was found there in the temple among the doctors and lawyers asking questions. 12 years old. And they were astonished at His answers. He came here lived a pure, sinless life. He loved us with a pure, great love. Nobody loved any more than He loved, any deeper, any greater. He was accused there by His own brethren, took to a trial. Condemned Him to death. Did He deserve it? No! Jesus Christ did not deserve to die by the things that they were accusing Him of. But He took upon Himself the sins of the whole world. Because His death, His shed blood, His willingness to die was worthy sacrifice. He took upon Himself the sins, your sins and mine, upon His own shoulders, and He bare them. He laid down on the cross, however they did it. They nailed Him there. He stood the cross up. There He was, suffering, dying for me and for you. All this, He says, I did for thee. What hast thou done for me? What about that anguished heart that's not in your breast? That burdened heart. That heart that desires most of all for the glory of the Lord to rise out of your life. Will you place your hands in His? Will you, down on your knees, with your head bowed, and your arms outstretched, not knowing what He's going to ask, hold up your hands and let Him place His hands on yours and around yours and say, My child, I demand everything. I want everything. Everything. Will you do that? Will you place your hand in His? The choice is yours tonight. He's only asking for a little bit. He's only asking in comparison to what He gave. He's only asking just one life. He's only asking for one heart. He's only asking for one anguished, burdened heart that kneels down, head bowed, hands up, saying, I'm yours. The reward? I don't know. But I know it'll be worth it. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Will you place your hand in His? May God add His blessings.
Thank you, Brother Mark. I wonder how many of you are searching your heart tonight. Are you searching your heart? It's easy to feel all right on the outside, but it's good to search the heart. You know why it's good to search the heart? Do you know why you need to sit in a meeting like this and have someone say, what kind of a heart do you have? And just look at your heart. Do I have the kind of heart that God is pleased with? Jeremiah 17 verse 10 says this, or verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. You know where the reins are? It's right here. The reins are the pit of your emotions. It's your bowels. God says, I search the heart I try the very thing that drives you. And it behooves us to do the same. Why wait until it's exposed on Judgment Day? And God is watching and He sees the heart. It behooves us to do the same. Just to examine our hearts. What kind of a heart do I have there? Well, I was pondering how to close a meeting like this. I imagine there are a lot of different kind of people in this room. Maybe some of you are here and you don't even know how to look that deep. Maybe you've never been converted. Maybe you came here just a searching soul. Maybe some of you came here with hearts that were desperate and needy. And I was pondering there as I was sitting, you know, Lord, how do you close a meeting like this? What would an altar call do tonight? When I get in a moment like that, oftentimes I just look to what God has done in my own life. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. An altar call won't make you a Christian. But so many times, getting up out of your chair after a message like this, when you've pondered the heart you have, and the Spirit of God has said, you know, that's a good question that He just asked. You know, doesn't that pertain to you? And you try to get away from it and you can't. And it's true. And you sit there saying it's true. What am I going to do about it? Well, oftentimes an altar call just gets the what am I going to do about it into action. I don't know if you know how that goes in your life, but oftentimes a long journey starts with one little step. Just a decision. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but this is something I can do. And that's what an altar is. At a time like this, it's a place a soul can say to God, I acknowledge that what you have just said pertains to me. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to kneel at an altar. I'm going to say, God, do the work that you talked about in my life. I'm going after it. I'm stepping out. And in my own experience, it has been that transparent testimony just to say, I'm a needy man. I'm not perfect. I don't know what I'm doing, but here I go. It will reap a bear of fruit in your life, I believe. And so I think we should open up an altar call tonight. Some of you maybe need to be born again. Maybe you know you need to be born again. God bless you. So I'd like to, Myron, if you'll sing a song tonight. Do you have a song? 376. Amen.
Thank you. the Lord Jesus that said, "Come unto me." You know, He said it more than once. I was just looking through my Bible there a little bit while we were waiting for the invitation. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." What foolishness that would be. How foolish that must have seemed to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the giver of life, and I have come into this world to offer an invitation to you to live from a race of people that is dying, and you won't come to me." But no more beautiful invitation ever was opened to men. "Come unto me. Come to me, and I'll give you life." At the great feast there, He says, "Who's thirsty? Come unto me and drink. I'll give you water that results in abundant life and eternal life." Praise God. Thank God for the work in the heart. Not only examines the heart, but He works in the heart. Praise the Lord. Can we stand for prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank You for working in our hearts here tonight. Thank You for the Word of God. We bless You, Lord. We thank You for it. I pray for these that have responded here, Lord, that Your Spirit would continue to work in their hearts, granting them each desire that they've come forward with, Lord. Thank You for it. Thank You, Lord, for working in our hearts. Thank You for Your great mercies. Thank You for Your great invitations. We bless You in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.